The main message, unfortunately, is that we will definitely have to redouble our efforts, since the number of chronically undernourished persons has increased from 777 to 815 million after a steady decline of over several years. Needless to say, this is caused by the increase in conflicts and the impact of climate change and some economic regression in some parts of the world as well.
Yes, and we see that Pope Francis has also appealed to governments to do more, tackle food insecurity, he says, by taking action on climate change and ending conflict, as you say. So the FAO, the UN's Food and Agricultural Agency organisation, is looking to do something about this by boosting rural investment. Can you give me a bit more detail on what that means in practice? How many people it's trying to target?
Definitely. What the figures show us is that we have 763 million internal migrants and 244 million international migrants. Now, of these 763 million internal migrants, most of them move from rural areas. And so we believe that investing in agriculture and rural development can help to address or reduce, I would even say, the movement of people from the rural areas, of course, if it is safe for them to stay. And this is why the theme of this year's World Food Day is investing in rural development and agriculture as one way of addressing migration.
And what kind of projects, can you give me an idea about which projects you have and where the regional spread is, please?
Well, we have in total right now about 2,018 ongoing projects all over the world. All that we do in FAO, I should add, is towards our goal of ending hunger, malnutrition, and food insecurity, and of course the sustainable use of the world's natural resources.
So what is your aim? You're holding an event in Geneva, hoping to look for solutions for rural communities. What is it you're trying to get out of this event today?
Certainly, World Food Day presents the opportunities for us to reflect on the challenges and the opportunities, the progress where we have been able to realize that. But it's also a time for us to call for all of us to work together on this issue. This is not an issue that one institution can be responsible for. And this is why we are very happy to co-chair with the IOM, the Global Migration Group, next year. But with all of our partners, all of our UN partners, our sister agency, WFP, IFAD, the UN High Commission for Refugees, the ICHR, and the gamut of agencies, but also with our member states. And this is what we have been doing on the ground as well, as far as our resources would allow us to. This is what we've been working on.
And last question to you. I believe the vast bulk of humanitarian aid from agencies like the World Food Programme, 80% or so, go to conflict situations. And unfortunately, we're seeing more and more conflicts around the world and people displaced are looking for safety. So how desperate is it, I suppose, is the question.
Well, I don't want to, you know, hypothesize too much, but what we know is that wherever there is a conflict, the number of food insecure people naturally goes up. If you take South Sudan, for example, we have 4.9 million people there food insecure. That's 42% of the population. And if you take Yemen, we have 17 million people there that are food secured. That's 60% of the population. And we have seen, too, that of the 815 million people that are chronically hungry, 489 million of that are persons living in situations of conflict. And so it's very, very serious. And while we, of course, we will continue to support all the emergency and humanitarian responses to that, we're involved in this, we believe that we must also have a good balance with the development side for longer-term solutions as well. And here again is where the investment in agriculture and rural development comes in.